Now, between 1869 and 1948, Britain sent more than 100,000 home children to Canada to work as indentured farmers and domestics. They were promised a bright future in the land of opportunity, and some managed to make a good life. But many were abused, neglected, and reviled by those who took them in. One of those children was Winnie Cooper, and I'm delighted to welcome her granddaughter to the show, Carol Newell. Thanks for joining us, Carol.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So why were they sent then? What was the reasoning behind it?
It was socioeconomic conditions. Britain had far too many children at that time, a result of overpopulation, mechanization, children, families moving from the country into the cities, poverty, no social security, just too many children. There were home children, there were workhouses, and Canada was in the opposite situation. We had all this open farmland and not enough people. So it just seemed like a good idea to the politicians at the time that you should move some of those children, many of those children, from Britain and bring them to Canada to work the land. But nobody actually gave any consideration to what was in the best interests of the children. Mm-hmm. And many of them suffered as a result.
Oh, it's so sad. Now, we mentioned in the introduction, one of those children was Winnie Cooper, who's your relative. She was born in Yorkshire, I believe, in Scarborough.
That's correct. She was.
In what would it have been, 1908?
She was born in 1895. In 1908, she went to Bernardo Holmes, and she lived in the children's village at Barkingside for 3 years, where she was trained to be a dutiful little servant. And in 1911, she was sent to Canada. When she went into Bernardo, she actually had an older brother and a younger brother who went in with her. Of course, the girls and boys were separated immediately. But fortunately, she was able to connect with her younger brother in Canada. He had been sent right away, so he was sent in 1908. So they did connect, and that part of the story was very, very good. And I should say that many of these children really suffered quite badly of abuse and neglect, but this is not Winnie's story. Winnie was a very plucky girl, and she seemed to, even though she was moved around to a number of spots, she always seemed to land favorably. And the family that took her in Canada was a very good family, and she continued a relationship with them. So it was very good for her. Many, as I said, many of the children did not do so well. The intentions were very good at the time, I think. She came with Bernardo Holmes, and the premise was that the children would be better off in the land of milk and honey, which is what they were told. But as I say, many of them weren't better off.
Yeah, I suppose the English people sending them there sent them in good faith and thought that they'd be fine, and maybe in those days didn't follow up on how they were doing. I don't know.
There were mixed feelings in both Britain and Canada. In Britain, there was the idea, let's get rid of these children. And I think initially Dr. Bernardo did not really want to send the children away, but he finally realized, and to quote him, that an open front door needs an open back door. Because by the time he passed away in 1905, he had actually started his homes about 40 years prior. And at that point in time, he had 9,700 children in his care just in Britain. And that doesn't include all the ones that came to Canada. And by the way, it wasn't only Canada, it was the colony. So it was also New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and Rhodesia that received children.
Okay, and Winnie herself was sent to Ontario, so it was it sort of farmland over there?
It was all farmland. It was very, very wide open at that time. Toronto was a very small city, and it was farmed. Families coming from Britain at that time could buy a farm very, very cheaply, but they had a certain amount of time when they had to clear the land because everything was covered in trees and rocks, and they needed help with that, and then they needed help to work the land, and there just weren't enough sort of migrant workers wandering around looking for farm jobs. There were certainly some, but not enough. And so these boys were the ones who cleared the land and did the work for 80 years in Ontario. And the girls were sent as domestics. So the home that Winnie came to actually had three children, three little boys under the age of three. So that was primarily her job, was helping the farmer's wife.
Okay, and eventually, were they encouraged to go back to their parents, or was that not allowed?
No, they were discouraged from going back. In fact, obstacles were placed in their way. And when Winnie wanted to go back after she was married to John, they wanted to return. And John received a letter actually from Alfred Owen, who was the governor of the Toronto Boys Home for Bernardo Boys. And he discouraged that. He said, this is not a good idea. Winnie's mother will be a bad influence on her. And basically, all the children were told, don't come back. And in fact, many, many of the children were told that their parents were dead, which in fact was not always the case. And they were told they were orphans, but most often they still had one living parent.
So you mentioned after she married, so even as an adult, she wasn't allowed to go and see her mother.
It was discouraged.
Okay.
She did travel back. My mother was a small child, and they traveled back to Wales. Excuse me. And I never really understood why they went to Wales, because that's a long way from Scarborough. But that's where her brothers ended up. So they were trying to reunify the family, but she never did make it to Scarborough.
Wow. So hence you're Canadian, presumably.
Yes, we are.
And is it mainly about Winnie? Is it mainly about your grandmother, or is it about all the children and the different stories of, you know, some did well, some didn't do so well?
No, it's my grandmother's story, and it's my story of searching for what happened to her. In 2011, I inherited her box of mementos during a phone conversation with my aunt, my mother's estranged sister. She said she was going to give me Granny's box when I came to visit her the following week. And I said, you know, why me? Why not one of your own children? And she said, because you'll know what to do with it. And then a few days later, before I could get there, she suffered an unexpected stroke and passed away. So I felt really responsible for taking on this job of telling this story. And it started out, I spent about 6 months researching, maybe longer, the British child migration. And I realized that Winnie had a story, but I didn't have enough information at that time to write a memoir or biographical outlining of her life. But I just started studying and researching, and it took me 10 years to find the whole story. And really the last story that I didn't know about was Wales. But through the miracles of Facebook, I found my first cousin once removed in Wales. She was 92 at the time. She's now 96. And she was able to tell me everything that happened in Wales, how it was successful and how it was a disaster, and how my family ended up back in Canada after that. So, yes, lots happened. And Winnie was a very plucky girl. She didn't let this drag her down. Wasn't anything she talked about, although none of the children did. It was a terrible shame to have come from a children's home. So whether you were sent away or whether you stayed in Britain, you never admitted that you were a home child. It was just too great a shame for your family.
Yeah, it must have been a bit like a jigsaw putting it all together over those 10 years.
It was very much so a jigsaw, and but it was an experience that brought me together with other family members who helped with research and, as I say, finding my lost family, not just my cousin Myra, but her family in Wales and more family here in Canada. So that part was all just a win for me, and getting her story out and learning about myself through sort of the transgenerational things that happen in every family. And I was influenced by the women in my family, and they were influenced by Winnie, and it sort of traveled down the line. And, you know, your personality is kind of created by the people that come before you in many cases.
Yeah, it's your heritage, isn't it?
Yes, it was at times it was tedious, but you know, I would if I couldn't sleep, I would get up in the night and I would just write. And sometimes the best parts of the story came to me in the night or when I was driving. And I did realize once I got going that there was a lot of information in my head that I had just forgotten because I hadn't needed to access it for, you know, more than 50 years. And my mother had shared many stories with me, which I was able to validate with my cousins because their mothers had shared similar story. So everything in the book, all the stories are true, all the characters are real, but the narrative and the dialogue is created. It's a creative nonfiction book, and I had to make Winnie's story really a story because that's the way it seemed to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I read that you had an endorsement from the head of the association representing the families of British home children in Canada.
Yes, Laurie Oshesky's done an absolutely fabulous job of getting the word out. And she had a great friendship with Gordon Brown, and he issued an apology many, many years ago when he was a prime minister. And we also got a prime minister, an apology from Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, all through the organization that Laurie started. So we're very proud of her. We owe her a great debt for helping put this word out. The one thing we would like to see is to have this taught in our schools and the Canadian history course. And at the moment, it is not. Mm. And considering that 10% of Canadians are descended, we believe, from these children, and most of them don't know about it, and most people have never heard about it.
Yeah.
That's a large number of people. It's like 4 million people living in Canada now are descended from these children and don't know that.
Yeah, it's very important to get the word out. And are you still looking for people? I mean, if you're on any sort of social media or anybody listening to this interview now they think that they've got those sorts of roots, should they get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. And they can certainly reach me through my website, carolnewell.com. And I would love to hear from them. And they can also, of course, check Home Child Canada on Facebook. And that's a good resource for them to find their own families.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we're selling the book on our website, tre.radio. It's called Outside the Gate, The True Story of a British Home Child in Canada. And it's by Carol Newell, who we're speaking to now. It's a fascinating story, Carol. Thank you so much for sharing it with us on today's show.
Thank you for having me, Selena.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
I know.